Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson we'll be looking at what is titled Samson's Final Victory. And this will be found in Judges chapter 16. Jackie, do you have a lesson? Did I give you one? Oh, okay. I didn't want to miss anybody. I would rather be without a lesson myself than have somebody sitting out there without one who wanted one or could have had one. Because I know the lesson, that's just... Okay, judges. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. And Marvin, would you be so kind as to open?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, dear God, for this day. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Pray your blessings out on this service tonight, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we come and pray you, Lord, for the lost and undone by Jesus, Lord. We speak peace, Lord, to the lost, Lord. Your peace. Save the lost, heal the sick, bless all the Christians, Heavenly Father. Just give us all the folks to walk with thee this night, Heavenly Father. First in Jesus' precious holy name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Marvin. Went in formal time. I took my jacket off. Okay, now we're going to be concerned with just the last half of this chapter, pretty much as far as the reading goes. But the first part of the chapter we will use as background information to the actual lesson. Judges chapter 16, we'll start with verse 16. And I'll read down to 31, which is the end of the chapter. And it came to pass when she, that is Delilah, pressed him, that would be Samson, daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all that his heart, all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she said, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. New paragraph, verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may be made a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which was borne up one of the one which with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the death which he slew at his death, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaloh in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. This is one of my more favorite stories in the Old Testament that when I first read as a youth, I found rather fascinating. And there's very much to this. Let's go to the background notes in the lesson here. This will concern verses 4 through 15. There is no definite time given between the following events and the taking of the gates of Gaza, which we talked about in the last lesson. But it appears as if it was not a long period of time. Quote, he loved a woman in the valley of Socorah. This area that we're talking about, where this woman that he loved, where she lived, this area did not belong to the Philistine dominion. This gives the rise to the idea that Delilah wasn't even a Philistine. But perhaps a Hebrew. Now, given Samson's taste for Philistine women, this was either not true, or Delilah was as much like a Philistine as the Philistines. Now that's important. This woman, as we read, was the downfall of this hero of the faith. And if she was a Hebrew, then she helped bring about the fall of this man of God. It is like a compromised Christian who brings about the fall of another Christian. According to Jewish writers, the name Delilah means debilitate. As seen in Judges chapter 3, verse 3, there were five Philistine lords and provinces. Now these Philistine lords bribed Delilah with 1,100 pieces of silver each. A lot of money. It's a lot of money because Samson was an important capture. They wanted him bad. Let's see. Now, they offered her a lot of money to find out what the secret of Samson's strength was. Quote, "See wherein his great strength lieth." That sentence right there would indicate that Samson himself physically didn't have the appearance of great strength. So what is his secret? That's what they want to know. Apparently he is not all muscle bound and huge guy. So how does he do all these things? What is his secret? These five Philistine rulers may have thought that Samson carried about a lucky charm on his person. He might have kept it in his pocket. It might have been something on a chain around his neck. Could have been something maybe his mother gave him. You know, they thought, well, maybe, you know, he had a lucky charm, something he could maybe rub and cause these magical powers to happen, because it was obviously to them and to everybody else, it was supernatural strength to be able to pull the city gates straight up out of the ground and carry them 20 miles away uphill. Nobody can do that, right? I know I couldn't do it. I wouldn't even think about it. Anyway, so they know there's something supernatural about Samson. They don't understand it. They want to know his secret. They also may have thought that it wasn't maybe just something he carried with him, but it might have been some secret words, you know, like a spell that he casts. You know, what does he say? What, you know, does he say this to his God? Or their motives is like this here. If they find out what his secret is, they could gain the secret. Then they too would possess the power of God. They could possess that power, they thought. And then, besides them possessing it, they could take it from Samson. So they thought it was something you could have there, and then you could move it to somebody else. Okay? So that was how they thought. Now, we see somebody like that in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24, Simon the sorcerer. If you remember that story in Acts, Simon the sorcerer saw the power of the apostles and he thought he could buy it. Do you remember? Anyways, if you are not sure about that, just look up Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24. So it is a similar thing. They thought... Simon thought that it was a secret power that you could obtain from somebody else. Anyways, desirous of the financial gain, Delilah hypocritically acted as if she really cared for Samson. The world does that to draw you in. They call Christians who go to church hypocrites. But yet, they are the living epitome of it. So that she's hypocritically acting like she really cares. And she sought by trickery to find the secret that Samson held in his heart, not in his pocket or around his neck or anything. verse 8, the seven green withes that's mentioned in this, that was to bind Samson on his first test, were green vines. Delilah kept trying to get the secret from Samson, and Samson kept telling her something that was way off the wall. He first of all said, "You could bind me with green vines, ones that have not been dried." And he did this because, at first at least, he had contempt for her asking. Later, after this attempt failed, Delilah followed Samson's contemptuous suggestions of being bound by new ropes in verse 12, and then by having his hair woven in verse 13. Now, each time tried, she's trying him, she's testing him, each time tried, Samson got a little closer to the truth. And each time that he went through this trial and test, he treated the gift, the special gift of grace, he treated the gift of strength that God had given him as if it were something to be played with. Lastly, he divulged the secret of his heart's covenant. A heart's covenant is a promise. A covenant is a promise between two people. It could be like a marriage covenant, or in this case, between him and God. But it was his heart's covenant. So she knew when he revealed his heart. The world knows when we do that. Okay, let's look at the text. This is the exposition of the text, which we're mostly concerned with in verse 17. Samson's soul was vexed unto death. Now, this phrase here shows part of the punishment cycle of sin Samson was going through. So that his situation that he had put himself in brought depression and thoughts of death. As anybody who goes through depression or has seen people in depression, it is usually some sin that they're in, that they're being depressed about. There's something crushing their soul. Verse 17, he, quote, he told her all his heart. Now, some things are to remain secret between only you and God. Some of these things have no business in the public ear. And not to be displayed to the world that will take advantage of any weakness. Verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. End quote. Wasting no time, Delilah called on her paymasters, and that's all it was. Payday. Verse 19, now prepared, Delilah has someone else cut Samson's hair that were in seven long locks on his head, being that she wouldn't do it. Before, she was putting her fingers, running her fingers through his beautiful hair. Oh, how wonderful, you know. Out of love and caresses on his head to get him to sleep. But now, she won't touch it. She has to get someone else to come and cut his hair. She was done with pretending. Verse 20, quote, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, Samson wakes out of his sleep and says, I will go out as at other times. before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord, all caps, had departed from him, end quote. Sleeping in sin, he was awakened by his beloved deceiver. He assumed all was as it was before. This shows that he was insensitive as to the sin that he was involved in. You often wonder how anybody could do such a horrible thing. You hear about some of these terrible things that goes on, mass murders, and you wonder how anybody could get like that. They become insensitive to sin. The further they get into their own darkness, the more blind they are to where they're going, where they're going to end up, and exactly what they're doing. So Samson was insensitive as to the sin that he was involved in. His great strength came from his relationship with the Lord and not his hair. Since God had departed from him, so did Samson's great strength. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. The Syrian text reads, burned out his eyes, but the Hebrew text indicates dug out his eyes. No longer would Samson be enticed by sin by what he saw. Bondage and blindness are the cruel results of sin, and carried further, it results in death. Quote, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house, end quote. Now Samson got the best shiny chains for both show and slavery. Fetters, plural, indicates that there was more than one used. They wanted to make sure he stayed where he was supposed to be. Now, Samson is given the most menial, lowliest job of the lowliest slave in a forgotten, lowly prison. Delilah would now not come and comfort him there. Forgotten. Used. She got what she wanted. Once captured and enslaved, the world does not kindly treat or exalt God's people, but only degrades them as far as is possible. Remember that. The enemies of God view the defeat of God's people as a defeat of God himself. An example in the world today, is found when a church in America is closed and reopened as a mosque. We have one in Macon. The oldest Baptist church. The oldest Baptist church.
Old Vineville.
On Vineville is now a mosque.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Muslims view this as proof that Allah is supreme over the Christian God. Any defeat in the battlefield is viewed as a victory for their God, small g, over us and our God, capital G. Verse 22. Quote, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again, and he was, after he was shaven. This indicates a miraculous growth. We're not talking about years. This indicates a miraculous growth as a result of Samson's repentance in prison. This man got down on his hands and knees. I'm sorry. He had some serious repentance. And God answered that prayer. Verse 23, then the Lord gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. This was the same five rulers over the five Philistine provinces, along with the important and wealthy of society. They were all there to enjoy a great celebration in honor of Dagon, D-A-G-O-N. He was the god who was in the form of a merman. You know what a mermaid is? This is a merman. Upper body is of man and head and arms. And the lower part is a fish. You'd be amazed at the number of Disney characters that were false gods. Verse 26, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them, end quote. Now this is something nobody of the people that I've talked to and the commentaries and people I've listened to on this subject, they've not brought this out. Knowledge of the temple's structure must have been obtained on his previous visit to Gaza. How else did he know that there were two center pillars? Remember when he was there before and took the gates away? He was there on a reconnaissance mission. He knew about this temple. He knew how it was made. Blind Samson must be led about by a young Philistine boy whom he told to bring to the house foundation pillars. There's evidence that this balcony that we're talking about here, the great balcony held 3,000 guests of the celebration. The balcony was made out of wood. It was a wood frame structure, possibly the cedars of Lebanon made it. It was a huge structure, but it was a wooden structure. It wasn't stone. And there's a reason why I say that. The great balcony held 3,000 guests of the celebration. Below was an open courtyard wherein Samson was to be ridiculed and made sport of. Verse 28, Samson's prayer here. Here Samson called upon the Lord God, Adonai Elohim is the words he used here. That's Hebrew, Lord God, Adonai Elohim, to remember him even though he had forgotten him in the past. Even though Samson had forgotten God in the past, he asks God to remember him. The line, be at once avenged of the Philistine for my two eyes, is expressive of very deep, painfully emotional loss. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars as if these great center pillars were gripped by the power generated in his hands. Verse 30, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell, end quote. The large foundational pillars bent first. And this is why I say it was wood frame. And it's not in your text like that. But this is something that is, I believe, is brought out in the original, that these large, huge pillars that he stood between actually bent before they snapped. The large foundational pillars bent first, then broke by the power exerted on them. It has been argued that Samson committed suicide in his actions. However, this does not fall into the definition of suicide since Samson fell in battle with the enemy. God answered the prayer of a righteous man. Though the righteous fall into sin, God is faithful and will have the final victory in them. In this one final victory of Samson for God, the entire upper crust of the Philistine population was wiped out, leaving them, that is the Philistine society and government and commerce, leaving them in disarray and leaderless. Samson indeed was not crushed in the collapse of the temple. His body was recovered by his family and taken to his family burial ground. There's actual pictures of this. I ran out of room, or I would put a picture on here. It's a picture of his grave beside his father. And the amazing thing about this grave that I think is it's covered with sky blue. You'll see a grave right here and right beside it, the grave of his father. And they're both matching sky blue. And if you go to Israel, you can see the grave. It's there today. His body rests there even today in a known visible grave beside his father, Manoah, awaiting the final triumph of the resurrection when the dawn breaks eternal. This ends the series on Samson. Wilson, would you please close in a word of prayer?
Lord, we are thankful for these words tonight. We pray that you apply them in our heart, that we can lose, Lord, if we move from your will and your way. But we pray, Lord, that you'll just have your way and bless each one that's here, bless this place. We pray for that lost soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.